So the dream then was to somehow be as close to Jesus Christ as possible. He was in love with Christ his whole life.
At the time of his death in particular, witnesses were able to observe these marks on his hands and feet and side. And early on, these were associated with the sufferings of Christ, making Francis appear outwardly what he very clearly was inwardly, someone who had been conformed to Christ.
They used different words, but as Franciscan friars Murray Bodo and Bill Short spoke of St. Francis of Assisi, they spoke of someone who was totally in love with Christ. These friars are well qualified to know something of the little poor man of Assisi. Father Murray Bodo has been leading Franciscan pilgrimages to Assisi for more than 30 years, and is the author of the world-famous book The Journey and the Dream. Father Bill Short was one of the co-editors of the world's most authoritative compilation of Franciscan documents, the Compendium of Sources. The two friars described the beginning of Francis's love story. It was a story that began with a dream and an encounter with Christ in the form of a leper. Yet he had also found a bride, Lady Poverty. The knight became a troubadour of love.
Francis had this dream in which he saw this castle, and there were shields all over the room of the castle, the great hall of the castle. And in the dream, he asks, what are all of these shields for? They said, that's for you, Francis, and your followers. And so he thinks he's going to really be a big lord, not just a knight, he'll be a big lord. And then he hears this voice again in the dream. What is better, Francis, to follow the servant or the master? And he said, well, the master, of course. He said, well, then why are you following the servant? Go back to Assisi, and it will be shown you what you are to do. So he leaves the army, like someone who is a coward, and goes back to Assisi. You can imagine what that journey must have been for him, from the military to go back to Assisi as someone who seemingly has deserted from the army. And then he started to pray in poor little abandoned churches and in caves, and eventually it was shown him what he was to do. When he met the leper and when he heard the voice from Christ at San Damiano, this run-down little abandoned chapel outside of Assisi.
We certainly have evidence that he was interested in a kind of marriage that his friends couldn't understand, and it actually marks the beginning of his conversion. He would go about rather dreamy-eyed, and people would ask him if he was planning to marry, and he would give a very cryptic response that he had found a bride who was more lovely and wealthier than any that they might have known. By that time, he was already considering his marriage to Lady Poverty.
And Lady Poverty was one of the main guiding principles of Francis's whole reason for living.
Yes, we might say that this figure of Lady Poverty is she is the lady that this knight is going to serve. So Francis still has this figure in his imagination of being a knight, but now he's turned the ideal of knighthood upside down, and the lady that he will serve represents the poverty of Christ in the Incarnation. This mystery that captivated Francis made Christmas such an important feast for him, and it was very theologically important to see poverty as one of the aspects of God's love.
Francis embracing the leper and rebuilding the church, but rebuilding it from the inside, not from the outside, were two pivotal experiences of Francis's life and mission.
Absolutely, absolutely. And in fact, some scholars say that the early novitiate of the friars, when people would come, young men would come, or older men, would come to Francis to enter his community, his fraternity, he would send them to St. Mary of the Angels, where the lepers lived, and say, told them to go live there for a while, and if they came back, they would be a real brother. That's how important he felt living among the lepers was, because they were for him the image of Christ, because when he met the leper and embraced the leper, he experienced the presence of Christ. He saw Christ in the leper. And in one of the early sources, he gets back on his horse to leave the leper, and he goes to wave to the leper, and there's no one there. And he realized he had embraced Christ. So that's a pivotal event in his life. Whatever was going on there had a profound influence and conversion moment. It was a great conversion moment for him.
The encounter with the leper led to Francis renouncing his wealth, and indeed his family, as he committed himself to Christ and Lady Poverty. We have an image of Francis returning even his clothes to his father with the words, "I have hitherto called Pietro Bendoni father, but from now on I have only one father, and that is God." These words were harsh, but as Father Bill explains, they must also be seen in context.
We have to think of Francis, though, and his fascination with what he calls the most holy words of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I think what Francis was putting into action, the word that he was enfleshing, was the very hard saying of Jesus in the gospel to hate mother and father. We certainly wouldn't interpret it in those ways in our day, but it certainly meant not to put anything before the following of Christ. And his father's wealth, and his attachment to the family, he really saw as an obstacle in his following of Christ, and I think had to renounce it if he was going to put the word of the gospel into effect in the kind of radical way that he felt inspired to do.
For Francis, Lady Poverty was embodied in Claire.
There, the Franciscan order, from the very onset, was man and woman, which is a wonderful thing in our heritage. Claire was the first Franciscan woman. And I think in Francis's eyes, he and the brothers had just been together very briefly when she came and wanted to become part of the fraternity, of the fraternitas, of this community. And I'm sure when she showed up, Francis realized that here is Lady Poverty in the flesh. Mm. Here is a truly poor woman who is the bride of Christ. And I'm sure he was so taken with that that he was astounded that here is the Lady Poverty in the flesh. In fact, when the little church that Francis rebuilt, the first one, San Damiano, is where the Bishop of Assisi, Bishop Guido, had the first poor Clares, Claire and her first followers, went to live there. Francis says they are not to be called nuns. They are to be called the poor ladies. So they're like the poor ladies of the castle of poverty, for whom the friars are going to do these great deeds on the road, which mainly meant begging and bringing food back to the poor ladies.
Yes, there were some brothers who joined him early on, but for the many years that Claire outlived Francis, she became a kind of a point of reference, both for the brothers and for the sisters, as she remembered the Francis and the teaching of Francis from the early days of the what we would now call the Franciscan movement. The friars or the brothers, the sisters, whom we now call the poor Clares, the laity, whom we now call the secular Franciscans or the Third Order tradition. Claire remained a kind of point of reference for those who wished to remain faithful to the spirit of Francis, and she outlives him by decades. So her figure as the first disciple, perhaps first among equals, is one that I think we're rediscovering more and more in these years.
Because Claire fought for so long and so hard for the privilege of poverty that in a way she was the embodiment of Lady Poverty.
Yes, people have actually looked on Claire as embodying much of what Francis dreamt of, that she managed to make flesh, we might say, that word that had been preached about poverty and to make of the little community at San Damiano in Assisi a kind of beacon that not only influenced other women's communities, but also influenced the men themselves, to return constantly to this spirit of living without anything of one's own, in joy.